today our the sermon. That's crazy. Okay, today our sermon title is a Thanksgiving meal, and let's pray once again. Lord Jesus, I know I can do nothing without Holy Spirit's enablement, empowerment, and I pray, have mercy on me, but speak not only to my friend's heart, speak to my heart as we look into your holy word. In Christ's name, amen. So today's title, again, is a Thanksgiving meal. How many boys and girls know what flag this country is? Hannah Caminata, way up there. What flag is that? America. Yeah, that's the USA flag, right? Here comes a tough one now. What? Hey, there's a few hands that went up. Let's see. It's not Jeannie, is it? Ruth? What's your little girl? Is it Jeannie? Can you say? Tell me what is this one? Canada. Now, in Christ, there are no Canadians or Americans. All right. But I'm going to play with this for a little bit, because they both celebrate Thanksgiving. Do you know who these guys are? Those are the Pilgrims and Indians and New England. Have you studied about them, Sam? You know about them? Yeah. Does anybody remember approximately what year they celebrated their first? Do you remember what year? Oh, man. That's pretty good if you remember what year. Well, a lot of historians believe it was 1621 that they celebrated that harvest with the Indians and the Pilgrims there together. And this is a one art's rendition of that event. They didn't have a nice photos like we have now. We can take it. Isn't that amazing? You can take it the one day before and then come back and put all this stuff together if you got time. But anyway, USA, Pilgrims and Indians, 1621. Do you guys know who this is? Okay, all of you who love Canada, I know there's a lot of Canadians out there, and we Americans like to give you a hard time, right? Okay, Canadian guys, who is the guy on the left? On the left. Who is that? Any adult? Any child have any idea? Lawrence, you know who it is? No. Christopher Columbus, is that what you said? Yeah, he kind of looks like a Christopher Columbus sort of guy, you know. It's Sir Martin Frobisher. How many of you been to Frobisher Bay? You don't even been to Frobisher Bay? Well, the Reverend Robert Woolfall, that's why I've got the blank with the question mark. You know, like sometimes you go to Facebook and the guy doesn't post a photo and you just see the little silhouette, right? Well, that's the way Reverend Robert Woolfall is. You cannot find a photo of him. If somebody can find a photo of Robert Woolfall, would you please send that to me? Now, you can do Google and get images, but I tell you, those images that they show are not Robert. You do a little bit of research and you find out there are other men in the Church of England's history. But Robert Woolfall was appointed the queen who accompanied Sir Martin Frobisher, who discovered Canada, and they went on the icy shores of Canada and had a first Thanksgiving Eucharist. We'll talk more about that. 1578, that beats the Americans, right? That was early. Well, Americans, we still can boast a little bit. Okay. Olivia, did you answer? Have you answered a question yet? You haven't. Who is this guy? You know who he is. Who was it? Abraham Lincoln? Yeah, that's right. yeah. And he's not the one who goes around killing vampires, all right? He was the guy who was the president of the United States during the American Civil War, where the North and South fought over various issues, with the main one being slavery. And a great president that most of us Americans very much admire. And it was his doing in 1863, in the middle of the war, he declared Thanksgiving. And we Americans celebrate it on the last Thursday of November. Okay, who's this? It definitely is the Queen Elizabeth II and Canadian Parliament. Can you imagine that? We can't imagine this Commonwealth, but they're really, really tight, okay? There's one province in Canada that isn't so tight, but most of it is, right? They're very, very loyal to the Queen. And it was not until 1957, when I was 5 years old, that these guys finally said, it'd be nice to have a Thanksgiving Day. And being Canadians, they said, forget November, we're going to do it in October, second Monday. All right? So how many of you Canadians celebrated Canadians Thanksgiving? And I know some of you in the past have even had Canadian Thanksgiving down the beach. It's really neat. So Canadians are celebrating, and Americans are celebrating. And it's basically to give thanks to God for how he has provided for us in our crops. And our growing foods, as well as our livestock. What other countries celebrate Thanksgiving? You know of any? What's it called? My Wikipedia didn't show that. These are the countries that show it, and it's interesting. Japan celebrates, and the Americans made them do that during occupation after World War II. So they had this labor Thanksgiving. And the Netherlands were in support of the pilgrims who went to America. You remember the pilgrims fled from England to the Netherlands, and then from the Netherlands they used that as the way to enter into the New World. So many other countries celebrate Thanksgiving. A Thanksgiving meal is part of many different cultures. We had Thanksgiving food yesterday, if you will, celebration food. I'm not quite sure yesterday's picnic in the park was a celebration of harvest. It's a celebration of music. But every culture will have celebration cycles and special meals. And you know what a Canadian Thanksgiving looks like? Does that look pretty Canadian? Is that okay? Not really? You want me to show you what an American Thanksgiving looks like? Oops, no. It didn't do it. Okay, my little thing's lost in translation. This thing's supposed to go out and then fade back in, same thing. Okay. So the meals aren't really terribly different. There might be a few things. You said what, mashed potatoes or something? Yeah, sure, we have to have mashed potatoes. And some people serve just rice, but basically we serve mashed potatoes as well. So it's the same thing, okay? But there's another, I want to make one mention. The oldest Thanksgiving meal that I can look up in biblical history is in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 29. And what the people of God did after they exited Egypt, God had instructed Moses, you know, I want everybody to bring a tenth of all their crops. Okay, all right, I made 100,000 this year, I'll bring 10,000. And we put it all together, and we have one big feast. That's in Deuteronomy 14. And they could eat and drink whatever their heart desired. And if their crops were so, you had to move to this place which God appointed, which was Jerusalem, to where this feast was supposed to be held. And then every 3 years, you would hold it in your local towns. And so those who couldn't afford to travel to Jerusalem, they could all gather and eat a thing. But it's a great celebration. Now, you can imagine if all the believers in the world got together and they brought 10% of their income and put it all together and we had one big party. You'd kind of remember that. It'd stick in your head, wouldn't it? And it's what made that so great a feast in Deuteronomy was that it was with the Lord God Almighty in his presence. That's what made it a super Thanksgiving feast. With that in mind, boys and girls, tell me if you can figure out what this guy is. You already saw him, okay? Try to figure out what's going on here. Are you you familiar with that? Micah's raising his hand. What's going on here? Communion, yeah. So different traditions do it in different ways, but it basically involves the bread and the wine, the bread and the cup. Some of us call it the Lord's Supper. That's the biblical way it's referred to in the New Testament. Some of us call it the Eucharist, which is what the early church did beginning in the second century. And it just means, the Greek word means Eucharistia, refers to giving thanks, thanksgiving. And you know, everything says after the Lord gave thanks, then he took the bread. That's that thanksgiving. You'll see it here. Holy Communion is that's that great word we use for our K groups, koinonia. We are participants in the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. We are participating in one body, as one body of believers. This is the koinonia. This is the Holy Communion. And oftentimes that's what we refer to it. But today I'm going to try to take a take on the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving meal. It's still called the Eucharist by most practicing Catholics, the Eastern Orthodox Church, Anglicans, Reformed Presbyterians, Methodists. Many people refer to the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion as the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. Scriptures, in all the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, and even John's Upper Room Discourse, that's all happening. It's several chapters describing what happened when the Lord initiated and started this whole thing called the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 are words from the epistles that Paul wrote that explain some problems of how we could misuse and abuse celebrating this meal. And we'll look at that later. Luke 22 will be our focus for today. These are the verses from the Bible that are on the screen. And when the hour came, he reclined at table. That's the Lord Jesus. And the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The Jewish nation celebrated the Exodus from Egypt, how God delivered them with a special meal known as Passover. And Jesus was telling his disciples, as he institutes the Lord's table, Holy Communion, our Eucharist, when he instituted that, it was at a time of celebrating Passover. And he said, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. Jesus loved eating and celebrating life with his believers, with his followers. And God enjoys us eating and celebrating life in front of him. And that's how we do it here. Jesus earnestly desired to eat this Passover with his disciples before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. In Exodus chapter 12, we're showed the story. And mom and dads, if your kids haven't been exposed to the story of the Exodus, is it Out of Egypt, the Disney movie? I think, you know, that's not too bad. I can't remember how they show the lamb and that. But they leave off one thing. Let your people go so that they may worship me. They always say, let my people go, let my people go, let my people go. Like we're looking for just political freedom. No, we're looking for freedom in God, freedom in worshiping him. Let my people go that they may worship me, is the Exodus 12. But Jesus tells them, when you leave, this is a special way I want you to do. I want you to kill this lamb and take its blood and put it up on your door. And as the angel of death goes by, we will spare your family if you have that blood on your door. And that's what happened at Passover. And because of the other firstborn children of the Egyptian leader Pharaoh, they all died. And that made Pharaoh realize that there's this God who's more powerful than I am. and I need to let Moses and the people of God go. So they apply the blood. But then later on, after the Exodus, this is what a Passover meal might have looked like. You had the unleavened bread, you have a lamb, and you have bitter herbs, and it does different takes today when you see how our Jewish friends today, and even what we call Messianic Jewish people, how they celebrate Passover. But this is an artist's rendition of what it might have looked like for an early family celebrating Passover. And usually, it was a younger person who would then tell the story, you know, tell the story about what happened. And that's why I like us to have our children here on the first Sunday when we celebrate the Eucharist, the Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, is that you can see this. And you can tell your children about this deliverance that Jesus gives. Not just out of a country, but from this life to the next life to heaven through faith in Christ who died for you, who died for me. So back to the breaking of bread when Jesus celebrated Passover with his disciples before he went to the cross. He said, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, that's the word Eucharist, he broke it and gave it to them saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Sometimes we slip in the word and we say, "This is my body broken for you." And the old King James Version, the translation in 1 Corinthians 11, would use that phrase, "body broken for you." But one of the marvels about Jesus' death on the cross is that his legs weren't broken. You remember they refused to break his legs because he died early while he was suffering and hanging, and they put a spear through his side. So they didn't break his legs like they did most people who were crucified. And that meant that they could no longer push themselves up and take some of the weight off their lungs and give them a chance to breathe and fill their diaphragm up with another breath. So he didn't have any bones broken, sure. His hands and his feet were probably shattered, those things. But no major bones were broken. But his body was given for us completely. That physical body which housed the Holy God in the flesh, God incarnate on planet Earth, was given for you. It was given for me. And said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me." The other part that's involved is not only the bread, but is the cup. And that refers to a cup of wine. Now, if you look at the way that you celebrate Passover, there's four cups of wine that are consumed. Whether this is the third or the fourth cup, it's debatable by Christian scholars, Bible scholars. But likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, he had blessed it, given thanks for the cup, and saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Okay, question. Remember Passover? Whose blood was that father painting on the door? Whose blood was that? Kids. Whose blood? It was the lamb's blood, correct. Mr. McDaniels, what's your first name? Johnny? Is this Johnny John? John. Okay. All right, so his father's John and his is John. Okay, so thanks, John. And it was the lamb's blood. Now, how do you get lamb's blood? You know, you go down to the paint store and say, "You got any lamb's blood I can use?" No, they had to kill the lamb. Little lamb was there, and they all had to kill their lambs and take that blood and then paint, right? Now, Jesus is saying, "This cup that I'm holding here," this wine, which red, looks kind of like blood, right? It looks kind of like it. "This is the new covenant in my blood." Old covenant, we take a lamb, we slit its throat, we take the blood, put it on our door, the death angel passes by and we're liberated and we're out of Egypt. But for you and for me, we had to have the blood of the Lamb of God. And we are headed to the feast of the Lamb. The very Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. He is Jesus Christ. And he is showing us that this now, that you're talking about, this little cup here, is not just celebrating deliverance from Egypt. I want you to celebrate deliverance from dead life to eternal life. Life without God to life with God forever and ever and ever. The new covenant in my blood. For who? For us. For you. For me. So the application. This is probably one of the easiest sermons to understand, right? Don't you think? Huh? Jesus gave his body for me. Okay, if you believe that, would you read this statement along with me? Jesus gave his body for me. All right. Jesus poured his blood out for me. Let's, if you believe that with your heart, let's say it together.
Jesus poured his blood out for me.
Okay. I will eat and drink with joyful thanksgiving. In remembrance of him. If you believe that, say that with me. I will eat and drink with joyful thanksgiving in remembrance of him. Let's change the pronouns. From first person singular to first person plural. There is a third person singular there. We'll leave that there. Okay, whatever. But Jesus gave his body for us. Jesus gave his body for us. Jesus poured his blood out for us. We will eat and drink with joyful thanksgiving in remembrance of him. You know, rock and roll, you play football and soccer and tennis. We have great sports and great recreation activities. But how do we celebrate Christ? Is at this meal, is at this table. Jesus gave his body for us. Jesus poured out his blood for us. And we will remember him with thanksgiving and joy. Too often, this meal at table is too somber. It's like a funeral service, you know. We're not offering Jesus to be sacrificed again. No, we're celebrating his great sacrifice on our behalf. We shouldn't take it flippantly, but let's not overdo it with a serious bit. If you know what I mean. Have you been there, done that? I mean, it's like, what are we doing? Part of that involves, because when we examine ourselves, we want to confess, and we need to. But I hope for you and I, this will be a time of celebration. And the way to do that is to prepare our hearts now and celebrate. Could I ask the elders to come down and help me serve the table? Martin Ray and Tom Young and Kenny Lau are three of the elders here today to help serve. And somehow I think we've lost a little something in transition. This is for the big people, okay? Little people, you don't have to listen to this too much. But for the big guys. There were love feasts combined with the celebration. It's like a great big potluck. And in Corinth, Paul saw that those who didn't have anything were starving. They didn't have anything for the picnic. and not even bread or wine to celebrate the communion. But it shouldn't be. But somewhere along the line from early church, when I look at history books, you have the early church house churches, they're celebrating more in a mealtime experience. And then when you move once the Rome became Christianized, and they started building church buildings, then it became reduced. And so, you know, we're kind of really, this is our Thanksgiving celebration meal, just a little piece of, a little cup. You know, where did that come from? I don't think that's the way it all started. I'm not quite sure how God wants us to move as a congregation, but I do know whether we have a little cup and a little piece of bread or a lot of bread and a lot of wine and a lot of other food, that when we celebrate this meal, it should be celebration and joy. And let's just ask Him by His Holy Spirit to make this a wonderful occasion of remembering Him. Let's pray. Father God, as You desired the Egyptian, the old people in the old covenant when they left Egypt, Moses and Israel, You wanted them to celebrate You and to feast with You. And when You walked this earth, Lord Jesus, I know that You said You so desired to eat that meal, that Passover, with the disciples, because You were going to show them something brand new, a way to feast in faith. And when we stand, Lord, as those kids sang this morning, as we stand in Christ and His body given for us. We stand in His blood shed for us. And we thank You that nothing can take us away from You. And so, Holy Spirit, be pleased in the way we take the bread and drink from the cup this morning. In Christ's name, amen. This is the portion from 1 Corinthians 11 tells us, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. Again, it would appear that there were those, if you read the whole context of 1 Corinthians 11, is there were poor people and there were rich people together. Some people didn't have anything to eat, and the others having a great big feast. And how do they take communion? How do they take the bread and wine in a worthy manner? And that's why I like us to, examine internally. Are there any confessed sins I need to bring before I come and take? Any unconfessed? You do it now. You don't have to come to me for confession. You do it now in your own heart. Secondly, is I want you to look around you. I don't know everybody's bank account, but some of us have a lot of money, some of us don't, some of us are in between. It doesn't matter. We are one body. Save sinners. Save sinners. We are one body. We're saved sinners in Christ Jesus. So examine yourselves collectively. This is who we are. Oops. Sorry about that. If this is your first time to come and partake at the Lord's table with us, if you'll just come down the stairs on your right, and we elders will serve you the elements here, and then just go back up the stairway to your seats. If you want a moment to reflect after you've received the elements, you can stand over here near the baby grand piano and just pray for a minute before you go back to your seat. Now, who do we invite to this table? We invite anyone who has trusted Jesus Christ died for them. You know, he said, "This is my body poured out from you." It wasn't the lamb's blood. No, it was Jesus' blood poured out for you. He who knew no sin became sin so that you might become the righteousness of God. And that's all we're saying. If you really believe it, yeah, Jesus took my sin, but also he gives me his righteousness, his perfection. And I believe that with all my heart, James. We invite you, please don't hold back. Come and take the elements with us. Now, some of our children are here, and they're not quite there yet. They love Jesus, they love you, but they don't understand that Jesus has died for them on the cross. I would ask that you bring them along with you, and we'll bless them and pray for them, but you have them wait till where they have really declared, "Yes, Jesus died for me, and I believe that with all my heart, and I know that his righteousness is mine through faith alone, not through works." If your child believes that, I don't mind serving them. But you parents, you're going to have to let me know the green light to go. So I don't know your kids all that well. Those are younger. So come down on the right, your right, and then come by and get the elements. Searching for this. I didn't know which tray it was in. This is supposed to represent unleavened bread. Remember the reason they didn't put yeast or leaven into the bread was because they wanted to make something really quick so they could get out of Egypt quick. And so the tradition has been to use unleavened bread in the Lord's table as well. That's what he was using when he broke it. So after the Lord had given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it. And boys and girls, I'm going to see how well you have listened. After Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Eat in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup and he said, "You know, boys and girls and men and women of DBICC, this is the cup of the new covenant. It's what does it represent? Blood. That's right. My blood poured out for you, for the cleansing, for the remission of sin. Drink in remembrance of me," or him, Jesus. He's saying that. "Drink this in remembrance of him." So every time we eat of this bread and we drink from this cup, we proclaim Christ's death. His death is what brings us life until he comes again. And then we're going to feast with him in heaven. I'll save that story for another day. But please, let's celebrate the Lord's body given for us, his blood poured out for us.